Have your Bibles, we'll turn to Philippians in chapter 1. We read together the book of Philippians and the chapter 1. The text is found in Philippians chapter 1 and the verse beginning of verse 21. And Apostle Paul could say, "For me to live is Christ." And here we have the life that is worth living. Here is the life that is worth living. For me to live is Christ. Let's unite our hearts together in a word of prayer. Father, we thank Thee for your word. We thank You, Lord, for the praise that has risen from the hearts of Your people. We thank You, Lord, for the message even in song about giving ourselves to Christ. And I pray that would be with us now as we become even to Your word, that would fill us with the Holy Spirit of a living God. We need Thee, Lord. We need help to preach. We need help to listen to Thy word. And I pray that Thou would bless us even in Thy presence now. In Jesus' name. Amen. For me to live is Christ. Apostle Paul, at this particular time, was in a prison cell in Rome. Many times he speaks about my bonds. Here's a man closed up. Here's a man, in a sense, in darkness. Here's a man in chains. But he never lost his faith. And he never lost hope in God. And he himself says there in the verse 12 that the things that happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. And he realized, even though he was chained, that the gospel was still going forward. Even in the palace, even in the place of Rome where he was, he realized God had a purpose and God had a great plan even for him in prison. Now, as he lies in the prison cell, he writes to these believers at Philippi. He speaks to them about his Lord. The Apostle Paul was always speaking of Christ. You see, in mercy the Lord Jesus had come to his heart and had saved them. And the Lord Jesus had taken him off that broad road that leads to destruction. And the Apostle Paul, he loved Christ with all of his heart. And so when he was writing to these churches, he spoke of Christ. As we will see, Christ was his all. And Christ was his life. In Philippians chapter 2, he tells us about Christ. He talks there about the deity of Christ, who being in the form of God, in verse 6, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. His Savior was no one else than God himself. And he tells us here that Christ thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He tells about the humility of Christ, that he made himself of no reputation, and he took upon himself the form of a servant, and he came into this world, and he tells us here that he came to die even the death of the cross. You see, Apostle Paul always preached Christ and the cross. He talks about his Lord, the Lord of glory, coming down into this world and dying upon the cross for his sins. But he talked about the dignity of Christ also, because he said in verse 9, "Wherefore God has also had exalted him and given him a name which is above every name." Christ came down, but God the Father lifted him up. Now he has a name which is above every other name, and that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I say to you in this congregation this morning, everyone in this meeting, everyone in this town will one day bow down and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I trust that everyone in this congregation will do this before you die. I trust you'll be saved. I trust you bow down even today and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and come to Him and trust Him. And this day, friends, it'll be too late if you're not ready. He spoke about His Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. He spoke about His longing, because in chapter 3 and verse 10, He says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. He had this longing and this burning desire in his heart. Now, what was it? That I may know Him. Now, let me tell you this. The Apostle Paul was saved here about 30 years. 30 years he was walking with Christ. And yet here it is, this longing, this burden in his heart, that I may know Him. He wanted to know more of Christ. Tell me, friends, do you want to know more of Jesus? Do you want to learn more, child of God, of Christ? Is this your burden today in your heart? Oh, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Teach me more of the Lord Jesus. Have you this longing in your heart to grow and to know more of Christ? In 2 Peter 3 verse 18, it talks there, Peter's words to believers, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, we are to grow in grace. We are to desire, we are to long to know Christ more. And the Apostle Paul had this longing. He spoke about his longing, that I may know Him. And I trust that is your desire, child of God, in this house this morning, that I may know Christ. If you're not saved, I trust that God will give you this burden in your heart, that I may know Christ. I want to know Christ as my Savior. I want to be redeemed. I want everlasting life. He had this longing. He spoke not only about his longing, he spoke about his life. He says, for me to live is Christ. This, friends, was one short, simple statement to this church about his life. He was given a summary of his life. And he says, for me to live is Christ. Well, I want you to do something before we continue in our sermon. I want you to fill in the missing word for me. For me to live is. What's your answer to that? What have you put in before God in His house here today? For me to live is. What is your reason for living? Is it, dear friends, for possessions? Is it ambitions of the world? Is it for riches, for silver? Is it for your family? For me to live is. Now, how do you answer that question? How did you fill in that missing blank this morning? In God's house, I'm not asking anyone for your answer. But I wonder what is your answer? I wonder if I asked this morning, would anyone put up their hand who could say like the Apostle Paul, for me to live is Christ. Could you put your hand up? Is that your reason for living in this world? Have you the same answer, the same desire, the same love as the Apostle Paul? For me to live is Christ. That's a life that's worth living. The best life. And friends, can I say to you, it's the only life. Now, what sort of life is that? What sort of life is this? For me to live is Christ. First of all, can I say it is a surrendered life. When the great Apostle Paul says, for me to live is Christ, here's a man who has surrendered all to Jesus. Everything to Christ. He has surrendered his religion. You can read in Philippians chapter 3, here was a man who had been a very religious man. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisee, of the tribe of Benjamin. Circumcised, everything about him. He was a very, very religious man who knew the law inside out, we would say. And yet we find there in chapter 3 of the Apostle Paul that he surrendered his self-righteousness and he surrendered his religion in a sense. And he gave it all to Christ. He gave it all to Christ. You can see in Philippians 3 and verse We'll take from verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ, yet doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, from whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. And here's the Apostle Paul. He count all these things but lost. He surrendered all to Christ. He surrendered his religion so he could live for Christ. He surrendered his riches. He did not say that for me to live is riches or possessions. No, when I read the Apostle Paul and see him here in the Scriptures, we see that he was a poor man. He says in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 27, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Now, he's speaking about his life. He's speaking, friends, about his possessions. We can read even in that verse that he has nothing. He's fasting, he's hungry, he's thirsty, he's cold, he's nakedness. Here's a man, in a sense, in this world's terms, has nothing. And why has this man got nothing? Because he has given all to Christ. He was not living for the world. He was not living for silver. He was not living, dear friends, for gold. No, for me to live is Christ. He surrendered all the riches there was in the world. He was not interested in these things. But he was interested in living for Christ. You see, even this book here in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 18, he talked about the gift that this people brought to him in verse 18. But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. These people had sent a gift to the Apostle Paul. He needed, in a sense, handouts. He needed people to send him clothes. He needed people to send him money. He needed food to be brought to him. But here was a man who has surrendered everything to Christ. Wasn't worried about the world's goods. As long as he could live for Christ. And you can read in Acts chapter 4 of the early church doing the same thing. Days of revival. Days, friends, when people were converted. Days when men and women says, I have decided to follow Jesus. I will give all to Christ. And you can read in Acts 4, that's what they did. It says in Acts 4, verse 33, with great power, give the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. Now, do you see what is happening here? Here are people giving all to Christ. Now, we're not all called to do this, but if we're called to do it, are we willing to do it? These people were called to do this. Urgent business, the early church had to go forward. And these were people. They had lands. They had houses. And they came and they sold it. And they brought all the money. And they laid it all down at Jesus' feet. You see, they give up all their riches for the cause of Christ. I surrender all to Jesus. You can say, Lord, I give you my home. I give you my land. I give you my money, everything, Lord, just you use me, all I have. That is, in a sense, what you can do this morning. I give all to the Lord Jesus Christ. George Mueller one time asked for some helpers for the orphanages. And there were two people came forward, and they came in to see him. And they said these words to them, we purpose ourselves for the service of the intended orphanage house. If you think us qualified for it, also to give up all our furniture, etc., which the Lord has given us for its use, and to do this without receiving any salary whatsoever. And here were people came in the time of Mueller. He needed people to help him in the orphanage, and there was two people, a man and a wife came, and they said, listen, we have decided to give all our furniture that we have, all the money that we have, and if you think us qualified, then we will work without a salary. You see, dear friends, they have surrendered all to Christ. And the Apostle Paul says, he surrendered his riches wasn't interested in money. He surrendered his relations as well. You see, Apostle Paul did not say for me to live his relations, i.e. family. He had no wife. He was a man who separated from those that he loved, his family circle. He had left his home. He had left his mother. He had left his father. Had he brothers and sisters? He left them. Because, friends, for me to live is Christ. And he had this call of God to leave his all and to follow the Lord Jesus. And he left all. The Lord Jesus speaks about that in Matthew chapter 19. Verse 29, everyone that has forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. The Lord Jesus speaks about such a sacrifice. Leaving your wife, leaving your children, leaving your home friends, leaving your possessions, leaving all for the Lord Jesus Christ. Giving your whole heart, your whole life to the Savior. Now, there are many people that's done that. There's many missionaries out on the mission field. They've heard the voice of Christ. And they says, I give all to the Lord Jesus. Now, this will mean me leaving my home, my family, and those that I love most. But they've done it, friends. They have done this. They have surrendered all to Christ. You see, Christ is to be first love in their heart, not the family. Now, we are to love our family. Don't mistake me this morning. We're to love our wives, we're to love our children, and so on. But this is not what we're saying. We're saying Christ is first. Do you say for me to live is my family? Or do you say for me to live is Christ? You see, if you say, first of all this morning, child of God, for me to live is my family, then you've got it the wrong way around. For me to live is Christ. Then live for your family. Here's a man sacrificed. Here's a man who surrendered even his relations. He left them all. The story is told about Willie and Margaret McComb. They were going to Brazil, the Acre Gospel Mission, to commence a work. They had to make a very difficult decision. They had a young girl, Irene, who was 4.5 years old. And they sat down and talked about it. They went into the unknown, really. They said, we cannot take our daughter with us. We'll have to leave her behind. Now, this really tore the heart out of the mom and dad. And any parents here in this meeting would realize something of the sacrifice this would be. So they left the wee girl standing at the dock. She's 4.5 years old. And they planned that they would see her in 4 years' time. But you know, it was 8 years before they got home again. But there's a woman there called Molly Harvey, and she was unmarried. And she, when she saw the sacrifice that these parents made, she was glad she wasn't married. She was glad she didn't have to go through the pain that this mother and this father went through as they sacrificed all for Christ. They left their daughter standing, friends, at the seashore. All to Jesus I surrender. For me to live is Christ. Paul sacrificed all. Tell me, friends, is Christ first in your life? Mother in the meeting, is Christ first in your life? Father, children. It is the surrendered life that nothing will come between me and my Lord. For me to live is Christ first. He sacrificed his reputation as well. He was from a very prosperous city called Tarsus. It tells us in Acts 21 there was no mean city. It was a city of great education. You see, Apostle Paul was brought up at the great feet of the great teacher Gabriel. Acts 22 verse 3 tells us. He says, I am verily a man which am a Jew born in Tarsus in Syria. Yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gabriel. He's brought up at the feet of Gabriel. This in the Jews' eyes would be education supreme. Gabriel was known there among the Jews as the beauty of the law. In a sense, the Apostle Paul had it all. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He had a wonderful and a great reputation. He was brought up, in a sense, in the highest school in the land. And yet I want you to say this morning, dear friends, despite all the education that he had, it drove him away from Christ. Now, there's nothing wrong with education, if you're interested in it. But don't let education take you away from Christ. It took the Apostle Paul away from Christ. He had the best teacher, and it drove him away from Christ. He sacrificed his reputation, you see. He could have had it all, in a sense, in this wonderful city. Pharisee after Pharisee, brought up at the feet of Gabriel. He was a man of renown. He was a man of reputation. Everybody looked to Saul of Tarsus. Everyone held him in high esteem. But all to Jesus I surrender. He giveth, friends, all to the Lord Jesus Christ. We find that also in the life of Moses. What a sacrifice he made, friends. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says, by faith, in verse 24, by faith Moses, when he has come to years, refused to be called the sons of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Oh, here is Moses, the same thing. He's given all to Christ. He's sacrificing his reputation. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. All the riches, all the glory, all the honor, friends, that would go with being in that palace. He gave it all up. For me to live is Christ, says Moses. I will leave all of these things. I will give up this reputation. I will give up this palace. I will give up all of these riches. The surrendered life. Giving all to the Lord Jesus. We were singing that hymn, All to Jesus I Surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all to Jesus, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. It is a surrendered life for me to live as Christ. Tell me, have you surrendered all to Christ? Child of God, do you leave all on the altar, including yourself, as Romans 12 tells us, to offer a body, a living sacrifice unto God? Have you given your all to Christ? Have you left your family, your children, your riches, your home, everything? Say, Lord, I give everything to Thee. Are you holding back? Do you sing that hymn, I surrender some things to Jesus? Or do you surrender all? If you're not saved, maybe I'm not saved this morning to some people. You haven't surrendered at all to Christ. You're still at war with Christ. We trust that you'll be saved. It's a surrendered life. He gave us all to the Lord Jesus. And oh, that you'll do that this morning, child of God. Maybe you've been holding back on certain things. Give your all to the Lord Jesus, for He's the one who gives all for us. It's also a serving life, or a life of service. See how He introduces Himself in chapter 1 and verse 1. He says, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ. He referred Himself to the servant of Christ, you see. It is a serving life. For me to live is Christ. Well, how's he going to live then? He's given up everything to the Lord Jesus. He's left everything, in a sense, down at the feet of Christ. Then how's that going to impact or to affect his life? And it did. It was a life of service. He did this by his preaching. You can follow the Apostle Paul here through the book of Acts and through the Word of God. You can see him preaching the glorious message of the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 23, but we preach Christ crucified. And he preached about Christ coming into the world and dying upon the cross. And that Christ alone could save unto the uttermost. And he lived for Christ. And he worshipped Christ. And he witnessed for the Lord Jesus. And this was his life. You see, dear friends, he preached Christ. Didn't preach a doctrine, didn't preach a creed, did not preach himself. He says in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 5, but we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. This was his message. He was a servant of Christ. In Acts 16 and verse 17, when he came into this city, he was followed, and the woman who was troubled by the spirit of a devil said, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And the people knew that he came into this city for the first time. And this young woman followed him and said, see these men, Paul and Silas? These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. You see, Apostle Paul's life was Christ. And it was a life of service. And no matter, friends, where he went, he witnessed for Christ. The Lord doesn't always call all of us to full-time service. I'm not suggesting that this morning. But if you're living for Christ, you're a witness for Christ. Wherever the Lord has you. He said, no, the only place I am is my home at the sink. Some of you's mothers are at the sink or dusting and all the rest. But, well, listen, that's where you can live for Christ. You can live for Christ in your home. That's where God has placed you. You be a witness for him. You be a servant. In the workplace, in the school, wherever it may be, friends. For me to live is Christ. And to be a servant for Christ. By witnessing. What about his prayers? For me to live is Christ. He spent time in prayer. And even you read all of his epistles, you'll always read Paul spoke about his prayers. In Romans 1 and verse 9, he said, writing to the church at Rome, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. And when he wrote to that church, he could tell them about how he was praying for them and without ceasing. And when he wrote to the church at Ephesus in chapter 1 verse 16, he says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And this letter that came here to the church of Philippi in the verse 4 chapter 1, always in every prayer of mine for you, making requests with joy. And the Apostle Paul was living for Christ. And how was he living for Christ? By praying. Yes, by his preaching. By his witnessing. Ah, but now, friends, where do we find him? We find him on his knees. We find him interceding to God for people. We find him bringing this church at Rome and at Ephesus and Philippi. He was bringing these people before the Lord in his prayers. He was living for Christ. And we can do the same. In Romans 15, verse 30, Paul could write to that church, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Notice that you strive together. Strive together with me in your prayers. Ah, friends, every one of us has a ministry. Every one of us can live for Christ. Every child of God who's saved in this, you can pray to God. You can get on your knees. You can pray for different churches. You can pray for missions. You can pray for this school. You can pray for people that they might be saved. Oh, for me to live as Christ. And he would pray at times. He interceded. He said, of pray and hide. I'm sure you heard of pray and hide. He's a wonderful servant of the Lord. I would recommend you read his book, How This Man Prayed. You'd be greatly humbled, of course. And you wonder, did he ever pray at all, us? Really? It says at times he never slept. He was known as a man who never slept. There were times when he prayed for days on an end. And there were times he got down to pray, and he got down on his knees, and it said that he never moved. He never moved. He was down on his knees, and he prayed to God for 36 hours. But I'm not suggesting you all do that. Never much work done about your keel tomorrow. But this was a man given to live for Christ, friends. Do you live for Christ as a scene in your prayer life? All for me to live as Christ, as Apostle Paul. I'm a witness for Christ. I will witness for him. I will worship Christ. I will pray to Christ. Oh, my whole life, my everything, it is taken up with the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I say to you, child of God, is this your life? Are you living for Christ? Or have you been living for yourself? Is that why things are wrong? Is that why your life is turned upside down? You have not been living for Christ. This life of service, we are to live for the Lord. This is the purpose of us being left here in this world. Why is it, friends, when the Lord saved us, He didn't take us straight to heaven? Because He wants us to live on this world for Christ. Have you been living for Christ, child of God? Or have you been living for yourself? You've got all mixed around. Now, you have to do things, I've said, you have to work, you have to do this and do that, don't get me wrong. But listen, first, is the Lord Jesus. Is that true if your life is true of my life? That my life is Christ. When you wake up in the morning, it's Christ in your thoughts, friends. Do you get on your knees and pray to Him? Do you love Him? Oh, dear friends, it is a serving life. Can I say lastly and quickly, it is a satisfied life. It is a life worth living, as I said in her title. He was satisfied with the person of Christ. In Colossians 2, verse 10, and ye are complete in Him which is the head of all principality and power. When he had Christ, he had everything. He had peace. He had righteousness. He had pardon. He had love. He had joy. He had hope. He had heaven. He had everything. He had everything in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was satisfied just with having the Lord Jesus. That's all he needed. That's all he needed, friends, in this world. And he had all he ever needed was Christ. You see, dear friends, can I say to you, are you satisfied with Christ? Are you satisfied just with the Lord Jesus? Oh, as long as you have Christ, you're happy. He was satisfied with the person of Christ. He was satisfied with the provision of Christ. You can read there. In Colossians, or sorry, chapter 4 of this chapter, verse 12 to 13, verse 18 to 19, how they brought a provision to them. He was satisfied. If he had food, he was happy. And if he was hungry, he was still happy. He was always contented. The story is told about a king who was told that if he had found a shirt of a contented man, that if he wore night and day, he would be healed. Now, that we don't believe in that sort of healing, but this is what it was said about him. If he found a shirt of a contented man and wore it for night and day, he'd be healed. So he sent this man out into the kingdom to look for a contented man and bring a shirt to him that he could wear it. And they searched for months, and they came back to the king and there's no shirt. And the king looked at them and he says, "Did you not find a contented man in all my kingdom?" They said, "We did. Why did you not bring a shirt?" And he says, "He didn't have one." He didn't have one. But he had Jesus. Contented with the provision of Christ, friends. He was contented with his circumstances. They were very low sometimes. He was poor. He was hungry. But listen, for me to live is Christ. He was contented. He was contented with the providence of Christ. He talked here about being in prison. He was in prison. Would you be contented if I wonder where you went to during the week and we find yourself in prison? And in chains and been whipped and been beaten. No, he was contented even with the providence of Christ, because he realized, as I've said earlier on, that the things that had happened unto him was for the furtherance of the gospel. Oh, I'm satisfied with Christ, with the plan he has for my life. He was satisfied with this. My God doeth all things well. Was he not satisfied? Look at the praise of Christ. In Colossians 4, verse 4, he says, "Rejoice always. Telling the people to rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice." Oh dear friends, sometimes the Christian's not happy. Why is it sometimes they're cast down? Why is it they're miserable? Is it because they're not living for Christ? You've been living for yourself. The satisfied life is the life that's lived for the Lord Jesus. I say to you in closing, what life are you living? Child of God, what life have you been living? Have you departed from this statement? This life that's found in the life of the Apostle Paul, for me to live is Christ. And turn to Christ today. Repent if you're wrong, you can do it. And put Him first. Put Him first. Then you'll have a satisfied life. You'll say, no, I'm happy in the Lord. I don't know what's happening in my life. My life is upside down. Things have happened I cannot explain. But I'm happy because I have Christ. You're unsaved this morning. The world will never make you happy. You've maybe found that out already. No doubt you have. Miserable old place is sin in the world. The best life is a life that's lived for the Lord Jesus Christ. The satisfied life is living for Christ. For me to live is Christ. I hope everyone in this meeting will lay this to heart and say, Lord, today I surrender all. I give you my life, my heart, my family, my possessions, all to Jesus I surrender. Then you'll be satisfied. If a wonderful friend in the Lord Jesus. Let's close in the word of prayer. Father in heaven, we pray that would bless the word to hearts of all. We pray you bless your people. We pray that they'll lay all on the altar for thee. We pray for those who's not saved, that they'll be saved by thy grace. We pray you take it our separate ways and bless us, Lord, even the remainder of this Sabbath day, that us give our best to thee today. We pray you visit us with thy great mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.